Well, welcome, dear ones, to our main church service on this wonderful and beautiful Sabbath day. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to those that have tuned in to WLMR radio, and also to those that have decided to listen to the recorded service. And praise God that we're able to worship Him in freedom, without persecution, and in spirit and in truth. And it is indeed a wonderful privilege to be able to come together in fellowship, in loving union with other brothers and sisters in Christ. It is truly a joy in my heart to be here with you all and to have you all fellowshipping together as one. So welcome, dear ones. I have an announcement to make. I was talking with a dear sister this last week, and the issue of membership in the church here came up, and she goes, well, I thought I was already a member. And I said, no. And she goes, well, I was baptized, you know, by you, so aren't I a member of this church? And I said, well, I said, I didn't baptize you to be a member of the church. I baptized you into Jesus Christ to become a member of Him. So then I realized that when I had made an announcement a few weeks back about those that would like to be a member of this little home church here to send me an email, it dawned on me that maybe individuals already believe that they're members because they've been baptized. And I know that's how all of the churches view baptism. They just view it as an open door into membership into their church. And they've lost the idea that true biblical baptism is not into any group. It's into the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how I have baptized those individuals here that are listening. That's how I baptized you, was into the Lord Jesus Christ, not into automatic membership in this church or in any other church. So hopefully this has cleared up any misunderstanding on this issue. So again, I say, if you would like to be a member of this particular little home church, then please send me an email and I'll go over with you how you can become a member here. But membership is not automatic. It's something that you have to choose to want to be a part of us here. And so please pray about it and think about it, and if God is impressing you to be a member, then please let me know. So that's the announcement that I have. And we're almost to our one-year anniversary of this little home church, and it's just amazing what God has done in just these short 11 months. It is just truly amazing and miraculous to me. And the time has just gone by so fast, but we're just that much closer to heaven. And I want each and every one of you to be there. So that's what I have to say, and so let's now go right into our opening song for today, which is entitled, Praise to the Lord. And the lyrics are found at lightministries.com/ID1933.htm. Praise to the Lord. And then after this opening song, we have a special music. So praise to the Lord.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join ye in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shieldeth thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires there have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with his love he befriend thee.
Amen, brother, and thank you so much. Indeed, we need to praise our Lord more and more each and every day. And now we have some special music from our dear brother.
Sabbath blessings to everyone. The song that I want to share was actually brought to my heart and attention by my dear wife, and it has been ringing through my heart and sweeping through the chambers of it since she brought it to my attention. And in truth, I really cannot put it out far from my mind. And it's called I Repent. I didn't write it. It was written by a man named Steve Green, but it is so beautifully done. And what I will do is I will post the lyrics here first. Some of you might actually know the song. If you do, you probably already are quite smitten by it. And if not, then I pray that the Lord will give me strength to present it well so that it can be an actual blessing and that I'm nowhere in there. Let the Lord have his way.
I regret the hours I have wasted and the pleasures I have tasted that you were never in. And I confess that though your love is in me, it doesn't always win me when competing with my sin. And I repent, making no excuses. I repent, no one else to blame. And I return to loving my sweet Jesus, I bow down on my knees, and I repent. I lament the idols I've accepted, the commandments I've rejected to pursue my selfish end. And I confess I need you to revive me, put selfishness behind me, and take up my cross again. And I repent, making no excuses. And I repent, no one else to blame. And I return to loving my sweet Jesus. I bow down on my knees and I return to loving my sweet Jesus. I bow down on my knees and I repent.
Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. That was beautiful. And I pray that the words have struck a note in each heart, that indeed our God is worthy of our love, of our repentance, and of our service to Him. I ask you to please bow your knees in honor to our God, in reverence to Him, and bow your heads. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being our loving God, for wooing us with your love, by sending your Spirit to strive with us, to lead us away from sin, from ourself, to repentance, confessing our sins and our wandering away from your will and grace. And thank you so much, Father, for not remaining on your throne until we've groveled our way all the way up to your feet, but that you are scanning the horizon, looking for the first signs of our willingness to come back to you. And then you jump off the throne and run to where we are to embrace us and to welcome us back home. Thank you so much for being our loving Father. And thank you, Savior, for being our elder brother that has not turned a blind eye to us going away from our Father, but you were willing to come ever closer to us, to seek and to find us, and to give your life so that we might live. We're so unworthy, Lord, but we thank you and praise your holy name for your great sacrifice for us. Father, we pray that you will continue to take control of this church meeting. Continue to rule in each heart. Continue to open our eyes and our understanding. And please pour out upon us thy Spirit in rich early and latter rain abundance. Spirit, truly open our understanding. Increase our ability to comprehend and to see the truths. And plant them deep in our hearts so that they can't be rooted out or snatched away by the evil one. And sprout them and let the growth be so tremendous that our focus is upon Jesus living and growing and moving in us, so that there will be nothing that this world can offer to divert our attention away from salvation. That we won't become distracted and turn our gaze from our Savior onto ourselves or the things around us, but that we may focus it upon His loving face and thereby find the grace and strength we need to overcome, to fight manfully and womanfully the battles of the Lord, and to keep advancing ever onward and upward until we gain salvation. Father, I pray that you will especially help us to understand how to cleanse our physical bodies of all filthiness of the flesh, so that we might indeed have you dwell in us as your temple and sanctuary. And thank you for helping us to comprehend these things. And Father, we also have some petitions to bring before thy throne, and we thank you for hearing and answering these according to thy will. We pray that Marilyn will regain her first love, that she will choose to give you her heart and to truly follow and worship thee as her God and Savior. We also pray for our brethren in the Philippines that have been experiencing one of the most strongest typhoons that has been on record. And we pray that you will be with any who have been displaced, any who may have lost loved ones. Comfort them, lead them, and guide them. And let them know how fragile this earthly life is. And decide to give their hearts to thee before it's too late. We also pray for our dear sister Karina and brother Joel and brother Sean that they will quickly recover from the sickness and the affliction that they're going through. And thank you so much for putting your healing grace upon them. We also pray for Sister Lynn's co-workers, Will and Javon and Latoya, that they will allow the truth to take hold in their lives and no longer turn a blind eye to it, but will be curious to want to know more and also convicted to follow what they already know is true. We also pray that Sister Mary will come to clearly understand the truth and continue to lead and guide her in it. We also pray for Brother Rich and his family, that his children would remember all that they have studied, that they'll be able to recall it to mind at the proper time, and that you will especially come ever close to each one of them, leading them to give their hearts to Jesus, so that they can receive a rich and a full salvation. We thank you, Father, for doing so, for hearing and answering these prayers and all the other prayer requests that we've brought before thy throne in this little church and in our private devotions. And thank you so much for doing so. Please be with us now and quicken our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, this is the Human Sanctuary and Temple of God. This is part 18, dealing with the physical body. So we've already gone through the mental cleansing. We've already gone through the soul or the spiritual cleansing. And now we're dealing with the physical cleansing of our body. And last time we learned that God purposely created our bodies to function in the precise way that they do. And this is not just to be able to live, but God created us specifically in the way he did to teach us important and valuable lessons in the spiritual area. So last time we then discovered that there were 8 different major areas that govern our ability to live. And each of these 8 areas have laws that must be obeyed in order for our physical body to continue functioning properly. And these 8 governing areas and physical laws were in the area of air, sunlight, temperance, rest, exercise, diet or nutrition, water, and trust. And we then spent the rest of last time examining into the areas and laws surrounding air, sunlight, and temperance. And we saw how these affect our body and enable us to have health and vitality. And then we also learned what valuable spiritual lessons each of these areas taught us and understood more fully why God created us that way. Now today we're going to be investigating into the remaining five areas and laws of health that surround the area of rest, exercise, diet or nutrition, water, and trust. And then we're going to see what spiritual lessons each of these areas teach us. For those that would like to follow along with the notes that I'll be referring to, the notes can be found at lightministries.com/FDA/ID1390.htm. So the first area and law that we're going to be looking at today is in the area of rest. If you look at quote number one, after a hard day at work, what can be sweeter than to rest your head on a soft pillow and fall asleep? And when we sleep, the activity of our body actually changes gears. It starts to function differently than it did during the day. Certain areas of our brain switch off, while other areas in our brain turn on and begin to reorganize the recent information that we gathered during the day. And instead of providing energy for work, the body systems repair any damage that occurred during the day. It replenishes the energy that we used up, and it rejuvenates our systems. And our body is specifically built by God to restore our vigor and strength while we sleep if this law is not violated. So then this means that we can't cheat on sleep for very long without suffering ill health. Now, as a general rule, every hour of sleep that you obtain before midnight is actually worth 2 hours of sleep if you go to bed after midnight. So this is why you feel so tired the next day if you happen to go to bed after midnight, because your body did not get enough sleeping and repairing time. And this is also why you wake up refreshed and wide awake earlier in the morning if you happen to fall asleep several hours before midnight, because your body received the sufficient amount of sleep and repair it needed, and it didn't need any more. So now you're wide awake. So generally, it would be best for you to go to bed between the hours of 9 and 10 p.m., especially if you know that you're going to have a very busy day on tomorrow. And that way you're getting a sufficient amount of sleep that your body needs to repair itself and to be rejuvenated. But this law of rest is not just all focused upon getting a good night's sleep. In Mark chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, we're told, "And he," or Jesus, "said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." So these verses reveal to us that Jesus and the disciples were very busy throughout the day attending to the needs of the people, to the point that they didn't even have time to eat anything. And this means that they obviously had expended a huge amount of energy beyond what they normally would in any given day. So then where did this extra energy come from that enabled both Jesus and the disciples to do so much work for the people in this short amount of time? God has created each one of us with what is called vital force. This vital force is extra energy that's stored within our body to be used in any given emergency. It's like a reserve. So those who, like the disciples, make great exertions in order to accomplish just so much work in any given time, they're able to do so because they borrow from this supply of their vital force. Now you'll also notice in these verses that after working hard all day, Jesus did not tell his followers that it was okay for them to continue on working hard, even though they were helping other people. But Jesus instead commanded them to stop so that they could go somewhere private and rest a while. This rest was absolutely necessary for their health in order to allow them to eat in peace and thus replenish the calories which they had already used up, and also to help replenish their supply of vital force which they already had borrowed from so that they could perform so much work in such a short time. And dear ones, we also need to follow this command of Christ. Those who have worked hard during the day, but then who continue to labor on when their judgment tells them that they need to stop and rest, are never better for their overworking. This is because they are having to dip into their vital force. Now, vital force can be replenished through resting, but it takes a lot longer to put back into your vital force what energy you borrowed than it is to use it after it's borrowed. And if you continuously dip into your vital force too often without corresponding rest to recoup these energies, then you are recklessly using up your vital force. And once this extra supply of energy is gone, it can never be fully restored. And if this occurs, then when an unforeseen emergency arises, such as a loved one has died in your family, or some other catastrophe or a personal injury or some sickness, whenever an unforeseen emergency arises and you are forced to rely on your abused vital force, then there's no extra energy left to help you cope and handle the emergency. And then your nerves or your body will break down, and you will succumb to some sickness, and you won't have any extra strength to fight it off. And you may die. Now, in this regard, and especially for those who may doubt this, how many remember hearing of people dying after they played internet games for several hours on end? Any of you here remember those? It was in the news. Back in 2005, it reported that a 28-year-old man had died, presumably from heart failure stemming from exhaustion, after he played an online computer game for 50 hours with few breaks. And I gave you the link to where this could be found in the news. And more recently, in 2011, a 30-year-old man has died after a 3-day online gaming session in which he did not sleep and barely ate. So both of these men were not old, they were still in the prime of their life, being only 28 years old and 30. So as this is true, why did they die in the prime of life? Because they had chosen needlessly to severely overwork themselves in this area of internet gaming. So this then meant that they had to continuously borrow extra energy from their vital force until there was no more energy left, and then they died. So let us all be sure that we not only get a good and a proper sleep at night, but that we also avoid needlessly overworking ourselves in any area, and thus recklessly use up our vital force that we need to be able to handle any emergency that may arise, and thus risk ending our life prematurely. So let us make sure we get a proper night's sleep and also avoid needlessly overworking ourselves. But now, why did God create you and me with the need for rest? And more importantly, what spiritual lessons can we find in this reason? If you look at quote number 2, just as physical rest and recuperation is necessary to be healthy, and without it we would soon die, so spiritual rest is just as essential for our well-being, and without it we will just as surely die, but this will be an eternal death. And it is only God that can provide you and me with this spiritual rest. True spiritual rest is a rest from the guilt pressed upon us because of our sins. And it is only through Jesus Christ that any of us can be set free from our pressing guilt and thus escape from the bondage of sin. In Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 23. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And our Savior mercifully declares that if we will just obey his call to come unto me, then he promises that I will give you rest, as we're told in Matthew 11:28. This promise is a prescription that we can follow for the healing of all our physical, mental, and spiritual wounds and ills. And though we have indeed brought suffering upon ourselves because of our own wrongdoing, yet Christ still regards us with pitying tenderness and with merciful kindness. In Jesus we may truly find lasting help, because he will do great things for all who choose to come to him and find rest. And since Jesus is the Lord also of the Sabbath, as we're told in Luke 6, verse 5, then a good portion of the spiritual rest will be found in keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath holy. We're told in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So as God rested the seventh day after creating this world, So the same seventh-day Sabbath is a weekly reminder for us today that Jesus is our Creator. And Jesus is also our Redeemer and Savior from sin. And it is on the holy Sabbath hours of each Saturday that Jesus personally invites you and me to separate ourselves from all earthly activities and cares so that we might enter into this special rest together with Him and indeed become refreshed. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 and 9 through 11. For He, or God, spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. There remaineth therefore a rest, or a Sabbath, to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, just as someone who chooses to disregard this area and law of rest by overworking themselves, and they will gradually lose all of their physical energy and then forfeit their life. So those who choose to disregard the law of rest on the Sabbath by continuing to work over these sacred hours will also gradually lose their spiritual energy and then forfeit their eternal life. In Exodus 31, verses 13 to 15, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. But if we instead choose to follow God's commandment and rest upon His holy Sabbath day, then He will bless us. He will preserve and sanctify our spiritual life. And we will indeed obtain everlasting life. In Matthew 19, verses 16 to 17, And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And in Revelation 22:14, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And not only this, dear ones, but God will also see to it that our physical life is also blessed and preserved when we keep His commandments. Because He promises us in Exodus 15, verse 26, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So that's in regard to the area and the law of rest. But what about the next area, the area and law of exercise? you look at quote number 3. After God created mankind, he commanded that they were to have daily exercise, and this command was both before and after sin. In Genesis 2:15, we're told, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." And then in Genesis 3:19, which is after sin, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And this daily exercise that God commanded each one of us to get has been shown to be an excellent way to slow down the effects of aging upon our body, as well as to enhance the quality of our life. And the best form of exercise is walking, because by walking, all the limbs and the organs of the body are brought into proper use. And there really isn't any other exercise that can take the place of walking. And this includes running. Running can adversely affect the feet and the ankles and the knees and the hips, as well as jar our inside organs. But walking is much more gentle and kind to all of these areas. Now, there's nothing wrong with lifting weights and doing aerobics and everything else. That's fine and proper. But out of all the exercises that you can do to benefit your body the most in the time that you exercise, is walking. And walking 1 or more miles each day will greatly improve the circulation of your blood. The action of your heart will become more perfect. And with regular exercise of, say, 10 to 15 minutes each day for 6 days of every week, your heart will be strengthened and will be able to pump more volume of blood per beat. And thus it will allow it to rest longer in between, which increases your life. And this activity will also lessen the time it takes for the poisons and the toxins to be eliminated from your system. And this is because that nearly 1/3 of all impurities in your body are eliminated through your skin. And so a long enough exercise will allow the pores of your skin to open and then be able to discharge all these impurities in your sweat. But if you don't exercise and sweat long enough, then you're going to have some of these toxins remaining within your body instead of being expelled in the sweat from your body. So it's not only important to walk and to exercise, but to do so long enough for you to sweat. Now, exercise is also important for your digestion and also your lungs. The lungs expand and thus will strengthen, and then this strength allows them to take in more oxygen and throw off more poisonous gas with each breath. So then the effect of being able to breathe better and to absorb more oxygen and to throw off more poisonous gas is that your entire body system will be revived. It will become invigorated and thus be better able to overcome any ill health. But also your immune system will be strengthened and enhanced by daily exercise. And this is why exercise has been shown to help in preventing diseases such as cancer, high blood pressure, and even high cholesterol. And in addition to this, your lymphatic system will be aided in circulation of the lymph fluid from 5 to 15 times more during vigorous exercise, instead of just sitting on the couch. Dear ones, exercise is free. You don't have to pay for it. You can go walking anywhere. And as you partake of exercise, please also remember to give glory and praise to your Creator for the gift and the ability to live and move and have our being, which is Acts 17:28. I tell you, those who do not take the time to exercise will definitely have to take the time for sickness. So then let us by all means establish a regular time for walking or other forms of exercising, and thus aid your body in regaining or maintaining health. And that way, you'll not only be able to live longer, but you'll also be free from sickness and pain, which will indeed increase your happiness and allow you to better glorify God. But now, why did God specifically create our body for the need of exercise? And what important spiritual lessons can we find from this reason? If you look at quote number 4, as we must exercise in order to maintain good health, so we must exercise our faith in order to maintain good spiritual health. As physical exercise aids our body in the efforts of expelling poison, as well as to heal weakness, sickness, and disease in our life, then exercising our faith will aid the Holy Spirit's efforts in expelling sin and selfishness from us, and healing weakness, sickness, and disease from our spiritual life. And as exercise increases our physical strength and endurance, so exercising our faith will increase our spiritual strength and endurance, thus making us more able to endure unto the end so that we can be saved, which is Matthew 10, verse 22. So then, as we exercise our body, let us not neglect to also exercise our faith in God. That way, we can be healthy both physically and spiritually, and thus enabled to live stronger, longer, and better lives on this earth, as well as on the new earth throughout eternity. And between these two areas, between physical or spiritual, spiritual exercise is by far the best to focus your attention upon. Because we're told in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, bodily exercise profiteth little for salvation, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now, what about the area and law of diet and nutrition? If you look at quote number 5, our bodies are built up from the food that we eat, and there is need for constant energy to be supplied to every soul and part of our bodies. And this energy is derived from the food that we eat. There is also a constant breaking down of the tissues of our body from every movement that we make. And this tissue breakdown is repaired from the nutrition that is found in the food that we have in our diet. So it is in our best interest to choose to eat only those foods that will best supply the elements needed for energy as well as for repairing and building up our bodies. But now, in deciding exactly what foods we need to eat, our appetite is not the safe guide to follow. This is because our appetite often demands food that's not best for our health. You've heard of women that are pregnant wanting to subsist on ice cream and pickles? That is obviously not the best diet for the woman and her growing child within her to subsist on. But that's what she craves. And thus you can see that following appetite is not the best guide. If we follow our appetites, it's going to lead us to eating food that will impair our health and thus causes weakness instead of strength. So then, in order to know what are the best foods for our body, enabling it to have energy and to repair itself, then we must study God's original plan for the diet of humanity. Because God, who created us, will definitely clearly understand our needs, and thus He has the wisdom to show us what the proper type of food is that we should all eat. And He has done so both before and after sin. In Genesis 1 verse 29, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat." That was before sin. And then after sin, in Genesis 3:18, "Thou shalt eat the herb of the field." So then every tree producing edible fruit, which would include nuts, as well as all edible herbs or plants producing seeds upon the face of all the earth, was the diet God appointed for all mankind to eat. So this means that grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables is the diet that God has chosen for each human being to eat and to gain the nutrition they need from it. And these foods, if they're prepared in a simple and natural manner as possible, are the most healthful and nourishing to our body system. The nutrition that you'll receive from these simple foods will impart to you a strength, a greater power of endurance, a more vigorous intellect, and you will not be able to obtain these things by eating a more complex, refined, or stimulating diet. And those who choose to go beyond this simple diet and who decide to add flesh meat into their meals, they are but eating grains and vegetables secondhand. And this is because the animal itself has received firsthand the greatest nutrition from these live foods. And so whatever nutritional benefit that was originally in these grains and vegetables has already been used up in the animal. And so by eating their flesh, you'd only be receiving what's left over. So I hope that you can see that it would be so much better for you to take advantage of getting the life-giving nutritional benefits directly from the natural live foods that God has provided, these fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables, and not try to get it secondhand from the leftovers of the animal. Besides, you do not need to eat meat in order to be strong and healthy. Elephants are the biggest and strongest land animals on this earth, and they are total vegetarians. Giraffes are the tallest animals on the earth, and they are also total vegetarians. So the belief that mankind needs to have some form of flesh food in their diet in order to grow up healthy and strong and tall is just not true. When Daniel and his companions were in Babylon, and they were given a diet that consisted of a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, as we're told in Daniel 1:5, Daniel and his friends realized that this was not the best diet for those who wanted to follow God. So Daniel went to the man in charge of providing their food, and he requested that for the next 10 days, let them give us pulse to eat. Pulse was vegetables. Let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants, which is found in Daniel 1, verses 12 to 13. And the results were after 10 days that their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Just after 10 days, just a week and a half. And that's found in Daniel 1:15. And then after 3 years of subsisting on this simple meatless and liquorless nutritional diet, Daniel and his companions were found to be 10 times better in all matters of wisdom and understanding than anyone else that were in all Nebuchadnezzar's realm who had chosen to eat a different diet. You can find this in Daniel 1, verses 19 to 20. So then, if you also choose your diet to be meatless and liquorless, and only eat meals prepared from simple natural things, from fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables, then you will also experience the same as did Daniel and his companions. 10 times better in all wisdom and understanding, and fairer and fatter in flesh. But flesh has never been the best food, even in Noah's time. But its use now, some 4,000 years later, is 10,000-fold more objectionable because disease is so prevalent and is continuing to rapidly increase throughout the animal, bird, and the fish kingdom. Those who eat flesh foods really know little of what they're actually eating, unless they're able to catch, kill, butcher, and examine the flesh themselves before they package it and then eat it. Often, if you could see the animals or the fowls or the fish that you're eating when they were still living, and then you knew the quality of the meat that you were buying, preparing, and then having in your diet, many of you would turn from eating this flesh with loathing because you know that it can't be good to eat because the animal itself was diseased and sick. But people are continually eating flesh that is filled with disease and cancerous germs, and yet they don't know it. But this cancer and other fatal diseases that are in the meat are then allowed into your body, and then these can find a place within your body and start to grow and affect it. And this is one big reason why many in the meat processing industry themselves are total vegetarians. They handle the meat. They see the disease that is in it. They know what's going out to the public to eat from their factory. And they themselves don't want any part of it. So many in the meat processing industry are total vegetarians. They've seen what the meat is firsthand. Now, besides flesh foods being harmful to our health, far too much sugar, refined sugar, is ordinarily used in our diet. Cakes, sweet puddings, pastries, jellies, jams are too high in sugar content and thus will produce indigestion in our stomachs. And especially harmful are the custards and the puddings in which milk, eggs, and sugar are the chief ingredients. The use of milk and sugar combined together should be avoided because it will ferment in the stomach and then produce alcohol. And there have been cases where individuals have died from cirrhosis of the liver. And cirrhosis is a disease condition that is attributable to alcohol poisoning. So these individuals died from cirrhosis of the liver, but they never drank liquor in their entire life. Why did they die from a diseased liver that's produced from consuming alcohol when they never drank hard liquor or wine or any alcoholic beverage in their lives? It was found that in their diet, they had ice cream and other milk and sugar combined desserts on a regular basis, which produced alcohol in their system, and thus they died from it. So let us make sure that not only do we avoid flesh foods, but we also avoid an overabundance of sugar, refined sugar, in our diet, and that we avoid eating preparations that have a milk and sugar combination so that we don't succumb to alcoholic diseases when we've never tasted alcohol in our life. Now, it's also vital to our health that we eat on a regular timed basis. There should be a specified time for each meal, and generally we should have no more than 2 or 3 meals a day. I say generally because each body system is a little different. But at each meal, we should eat just what our body system requires, and then eat nothing more until the next meal is scheduled. There are many who eat at irregular intervals, or they snack in between meals. And it's not because their bodies actually need extra food, but it's because they do not have sufficient strength of will to resist inclination. And if we would eat at regular times and only of food that's simple and nutritious, we would not feel so great weariness after eating or suffer much from sickness, because we'd be getting the nutrition that our body needs to repair itself and overcome disease. But in all cases, whether in our own lives or in our families, let us educate our conscience let us bring into the picture our willpower. And let us supply ourselves with good, wholesome food to eat. And the change from a bad diet to a good one in our lives will become so much easier. And thus the demand for harmful articles of food will soon die out and cease in us. We won't crave them anymore. But we'll instead crave only the good things. But now, why did God create us with the need to eat? And what spiritual lessons can we derive from this area and law of health? You look at quote number 6. Just as we are to eat good food in order to have life, so we must eat good spiritual food in order to have everlasting life. And where do we find this good spiritual food that will bring us everlasting life? In John 6, verse 47, verse 51, 57, and 63. Verily, verily, I say unto you, or Jesus says unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So Jesus, the Word of God, is the bread of life. And by choosing only to eat him, or only to allow his word to enter into our hearts, then our spiritual life will indeed be nourished and enlivened and able to grow healthy and strong. In Psalms 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So then let us all choose carefully what foods that we'll eat and subsist on in our diet. And this is not only because of our physical life, but especially because of our spiritual life. Let us avoid all false doctrine, all the commandments and traditions of men, because all of those are bad, spoiled food that cannot bring us everlasting life. But let us subsist instead on the Word of God. Let us eat the bread of life, allowing Jesus Christ to nourish and strengthen our spiritual life. And then we will indeed gain everlasting life. What about the area and law of water? If you look at quote number 7, pure, soft water is indeed a gift of God. Water acts as a solvent. It's a medium of transportation. It regulates the temperature, and it's also a lubricant. More than 60% of our body is made up of this water. Our blood, lungs, heart, and kidneys comprise about 80% water, and our brain, heart, nerves, liver, and skin about 70% made up of water. So then you can see that water plays a most important and vital part in our health. But not only this, throughout each day we lose up to 80 ounces of water, or the equivalent of 10 8-ounce glasses of water, through just our various body functions. We lose about 44 ounces throughout the day from urinating. We lose about 16 ounces each from perspiration or respiration. And we lose about 4 ounces of water when we go to the toilet. But we can only gain back about 24 ounces from the foods that we eat. So we lose up to 80 ounces of water each day, but we only gain back about 24 from the food. So then the amount of water that we're unable to make up is about 56 ounces. We have to get that from drinking water itself. So then we need to drink at least 7-8 ounce glasses of water each day. That's just to replenish what we've lost through our body functions. And if we should not get 7-8 ounce glasses of water a day, then we're going to become dehydrated. And when we become dehydrated, we're going to begin suffering from all kinds of problems, such as headache or fatigue, or our digestion is not good. And if we go beyond 10% body dehydration, then this can lead to our death. So this law is very important to follow. In health and in sickness, pure water is one of heaven's choicest blessings, and its proper use will promote health, not tear it down. Water is the beverage that God provided to quench the thirst of animals and mankind. And if we will just drink water freely, it will help to supply the necessities of our system and will assist nature in resisting disease. It will help us be healthy. Now, this is just talking about drinking water inside, but water also has a benefit by applying it externally. The external application of water is one of the most easiest and satisfactory ways of regulating the circulation of our blood. And I tell you, women especially know this, there is nothing more restful than to relax in a hot bath. Since impurities are constantly being thrown off through the skin, then its millions of pores will become quickly clogged up with debris. And that is why it's best to bathe at least twice a week in order to remove these surface impurities and clogs, and thus allow your pores to freely function in getting rid of the toxins. But now, why did God purposely create our bodies with the need to drink water? And what spiritual lessons can we discover as to why? There was a question in the room about showering. Yes, showering is fine because it will serve the same function of cleansing the skin, opening up the pores, and being able to eliminate the waste that way. But it just doesn't replace being able to soak in a hot tub. So anyways, it's just a personal preference. So why did God purposely create our body with the need for water? What's the reason? What's the purpose behind it? If you look at quote number 8, when God gave water to satisfy our thirst, He also used this precious gift to symbolize the importance of a spiritual life and relationship with Him. That's why the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the living water. And Christ promises to every spiritually thirsty soul that if any man thirst, if any woman thirsts, if any child thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, which is John 7:37. So just as we need daily water in order to sustain our physical life, so each day we need Christ in our lives to quench our spiritual thirst. And he will indeed recreate within us his own likeness and character. He will bring our spiritual life alive and thus lead us to everlasting life. Now, what about the last area and law of health, or the area and law of trust? If you look at quote number 9, in such a hectic world that we live and work in, with all of its pressures and deadlines, it can be very difficult for one to keep from getting tired, run down, and stressed out. Stress is any situation or action that puts extra pressure or intensity upon us, whether the stress is physical or mental in nature. And some of the symptoms of stress upon the body result in an increase in blood pressure, an increase in breathing or perspiration, or even heartbeat. But by far, worry is the most widely indulged of all the unnecessary stressful situations that we experience. And worry, in the great majority of all cases, is absolutely unnecessary. And this is because worry cannot change the future. But it does indeed affect and take away from our present. Now, the direct opposite of worry is trust. Trust means having full confidence in something or in someone. And it is interesting that the Bible has quite a lot to say regarding this law of trust. It states in Psalms 49, verses 6 and 7, that we are not to place our trust in either weapons or in wealth. It says in Psalms 146, verse 3, that we are not to place our trust in leaders. In Jeremiah 17:5, it says we're not to place our trust in men. And in Ezekiel 33, verse 13, it says that we are even not to place our trust in ourselves. But when you look at people today and who they're trusting in, these very things are the areas where the majority of people are putting their trust and looking to for help. So if we're not to place our trust in weapons or in wealth or in any other human being, including ourselves, then exactly where are we to put our trust in? In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So while it's quite natural for people to place their trust somewhere, that's what God created us for. That's part of our emotional makeup. How sad it is that so many choose to place their trust in any other area except in the loving and trustworthy Savior, Jesus Christ. We're told in Luke 12, verses 29 to 32, seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Don't worry. For all these things do the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So if we'll just place our full trust in God and be content with whatever He allows to come our way, or with whatever the outcome may be in any given situation or circumstances, then there will be no cause for us to be sad, but instead we'll be happy. There'll be no cause for us to fret or to worry, because we will be content. We will be trusting in the mighty, miracle-working God to help us. Trust brings contentment. Contentment in turn brings peace. And peace in turn brings happiness. And it is only by placing our implicit trust in God and then having and experiencing the internal peace that this brings us that we can indeed be happy at all times. In Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And then in Romans 15, verse 13, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And this happiness that's derived from the internal peace that's brought to us by trusting in the Lord will remain in us even during the most severest trials and testing of our faith. Even during these severe trials and testings, we'll still have that internal peace by trusting in the Lord, which will allow us to be happy. In John 16:33, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be what? Be of good cheer during this tribulation. And the reason is, Christ says, I have overcome the world. There's no reason to fear. You'll be delivered. 1 Peter 3, verses 12 to 15. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 4, I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Acts 20, verse 24, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So this trusting in God and the resulting contentment, peace, and happiness it brings is the only way that we can joy in tribulation. And it's the only way that we can really in everything give thanks to God. And the reason is because it is the Lord Himself that we find the strength to be and to remain happy. It's not in us. We have to get it from the Lord. In Nehemiah 8, verse 10, we're told, "Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And what will this happiness do for our physical health? In Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." So being happy because we trust in God implicitly works like a good medicine or a remedy that brings healing to our body. And the best part of all is that this simple remedy and medicine for health is free. All we have to do is look up to find it. But happiness not only works in us to make us more physically healthy and strong, but it also works in us to make us more spiritually healthy and strong. Having trust in God, especially in the times when we find ourselves afflicted by disease, can also make all the difference in our health, including in the amount of time it takes us to recover. And believe me, dear ones, your loving Savior is indeed concerned about your health. In 3 John verse 2, we're plainly told, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So if our soul is prospering in God because we're allowing Him to live in us and to work through us, then our physical health is also going to prosper because we have that internal peace and happiness that it brings us. And being happy works like a medicine on our health. So it is your loving heavenly physician and compassionate Savior who says to you that He will forgive all your iniquities and will heal all your diseases and will redeem your life from all destruction, and He will crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies, as were promised in Psalms 103 verses 3 and 4. So please don't let another day go by without accepting Jesus as your constant friend and Savior. Don't let another day go by without casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We're promised that in 1 John 5, verse 7. "In this way, you yourself will have the internal peace necessary to be happy and joyful in any and all tribulations that you have to go through, because you know that your Savior and your God will never leave your side. He'll never forsake you." In Proverbs 16, verse 20, "Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." And in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, "For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So that is the law and area of trust. So then in these last two sermons, we have just briefly investigated into these eight major areas and laws of health. And there is so much more that could have been shared and learned on this important subject. So I urge each one of you to take the time yourself to do your own investigation into this important subject of how to cleanse your physical body from all filthiness of the flesh, so that you may prepare yourself to be that holy temple for God to come and dwell in. And if you do so, you will be richly blessed from this investigation into these areas and laws of health. Now, so far we've just focused upon the different areas regarding the health of our body. And we've seen some of the spiritual lessons surrounding why God created us to function just like we do. But now for the next several Sabbaths, our dear Sister Rose is going to be identifying for us through PowerPoint presentations what the different major systems of our bodies are. And she will be showing us how God designed each of these systems to function in maintaining our life. And then she's going to point out what spiritual lessons each of these systems reveal to us. And dear ones, you will be absolutely amazed at what you discover. We are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. So then, dear ones, let us follow all eight of these areas and laws of health, especially this last one dealing with trust. And that way, by trusting in our merciful and loving Lord God Jesus Christ, we can indeed have the contentment and the internal peace necessary to be happy and cheerful at all times, even while enduring through severe tribulation, and thus, like Paul, be able to fully represent to the world and to testify before all men, women, and children what it is for a true Christian to be like. May we indeed be living witnesses for our Lord God. And this is my prayer. Our closing song is entitled Always Cheerful. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID233.htm. Always cheerful.
Let our hearts be always cheerful. Why should murmuring enter there when our kind and loving Father makes us children of His care? Always cheerful, always cheerful, sunshine all around we see. Full of beauty is the path of duty, cheerful we may always be. With His gentle hand to lead us, should the powers of sin assail, He has promised grace to help us, never can His promise fail. Always cheerful, always cheerful, sunshine all around we see. Full of beauty is the path of duty, cheerful we may always be. When we turn aside from duty, comes the pain of doing wrong, and the shadow creeping o'er us checks the rapture of our song. Always cheerful, always cheerful, sunshine all around we see.
Full of beauty is the path of duty, cheerful we may always be. Oh, the good will strive to be happy, and their path is ever bright. Let us heed the blessed counsel, shun the wrong and love the right. Always cheerful, sunshine all around we see. Full of beauty is the path of duty. Cheerful we may always be.
Amen, and thank you, brother. And indeed, dear ones, cheerful we may always be if we will just allow Jesus to reign in our hearts, looking unto Him who is our life, who is our everything. And then we can have that internal peace and contentment to joy in all tribulations and thus be able to give glory to God and witness Him before all peoples. I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel for closing prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for making it possible for each one of us to be saved. We thank you, Father, for creating us with purpose and design. Help us to work in harmony with your creation. Help us to truly follow each one of these eight areas and laws of health so that we will not break your commandments, so that we will not commit sin against our bodies, so that we will not tear down this temple and thus be destroyed because we've ruined it. But instead, we may do those things that will build up ourselves, that will cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and truly allow you to dwell in us as your temple. Help us to truly allow your love to reign in our lives, to show forth to others in acts of kindness and goodness, deeds of mercy, and especially in spreading the truth to others, so that we may have the peace and contentment derived from your love, and thus be able to joy in all tribulation, to be happy under any discouraging situations, to manifest implicit trust in thee, come what may, and truly be your children and followers in this world. Thank you for your love, and thank you for allowing us to know a little bit more in this area of cleansing our bodies. Help us to continue learning more, to continue learning why you created us in this fashion, continuing to learn the spiritual lessons that will point us ever upward and onward. And thank you so much, Father, for doing so. Continue to be with us now in the after church service, as well as throughout this next week, until we're able to come again on another Sabbath gathering and worship and praise Thee who has given us life and health. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Sorry that we went a little bit over on the presentation, but it is truly amazing to see and to understand that the reason why we have to breathe, or we have to sleep, or we need exercise, or we have to drink water because it's so much part of our system, is all for a reason. It's not by chance. It was for a purpose to teach us the spiritual lesson of how to be saved. It just blows my mind. It's beyond comprehension. And I just can't understand how any individual who knows just a little bit of how the body functions and how each system is independent, but yet it works in harmony with every other system in sympathetic unison, how they could believe in evolution. That something as wonderfully miraculous in living and functioning could come about by chance mutations. It's just beyond me. But then in learning the spiritual lessons derived from water and air and health and trust and rest, on top of knowing how the body functions, just the spiritual lessons show you that we were created with purpose. And dear ones, if you think that you've seen miraculous insights into truth just in what we've gone over, wait until you see what Sister Rose has to share with you about the various systems of our body. It is phenomenal. We're just fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, words escape me in describing it. But it is, our God is truly all wise. But are there any questions or comments or thoughts? Any songs? Any testimonies? Please feel free, dear one.
I like to sing Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me, Wonderful Words of Life. Let me more of their beauty see, Wonderful Words of Life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ, the blessed one, gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless of the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, dear little Joshua. What a blessing, brother, to hear you sing. And to also, I always love when the Lord lays things on your heart to share also. Praise the living God. A very timely message for us all is what you delivered, Brother Rob. And I'm very grateful and thankful to have been able to have a chance to be in the chat room and be amongst all of you, dear brothers and sisters, to hear this very needed food to eat. I guess I get a little speechless when I see how the Lord has built us and created us and put all of our parts in their proper order, and how it's very important that we really maintain them in a proper way. I can definitely personally attest to the fact of when you don't rest well enough and you don't eat well enough and you you don't exercise as you should and you overexert, and your body will begin to break down. It will catch up. It may not happen right at that moment, but it will catch up to you. And I praise the living God for his mercy for extending my life a little longer in spite of my irresponsible and foolish maintenance of this beautiful body that he gave me to use for his glory and not my own. So I pray that we all really take heed to this wonderful lesson and the many, many precious gems that are buried here and uncovered and shared. So praise the living God. Thank you again, dear brother.
I would like to share Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3, 5, 6, and 11. It's based on the study today. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thou understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. But I also want to say that I praise God that the Lord has given us these studies, and I am very much guilty of not resting enough. In the morning, you have your motherly duties, and then at night, it became so quiet to be able to truly do the work and also have communion with God. But indeed, I pray that the Lord will give me the strength that I might force myself to go and sleep between 9 and 10. And trying our best to be able to build our children and their bodies. We as parents, sometimes we forget ourselves. And this week I was even telling my son, anytime when you go ahead and eat, please call me so I could eat with you. Because he had actually mastered to be able to have the three meals in the proper time. And sometimes we get caught up as mothers doing so many different things that we truly have to do that if we really want to be around to take care of our children. I will be praying for you all, dear brethren, as well. Please pray for me. Because sometimes in the nighttime it's so easy to be able to just have the communion that you would like to have in the rest of the day, but you can't. But there is no excuse, but we truly want to be around to be able to be part of this beautiful gospel and giving it to the world. Pray for me, brothers.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you for your prayers for me and mine and the rest of us here in the room. And we will indeed uplift you in our prayers as well. And we need to pray for one another that we may be healed. So thank you so much for your prayers. Are there any other thoughts or comments, any questions? Any other songs that you'd like to sing, dear ones? Please feel free to do so. The scripture song comes to mind, and I've mentioned this many times before in this sermon about being fearfully and wonderfully made. I will praise thee, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I will praise thee, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalms 139:14. And there's also another song that's from Daniel 1:17, dealing with Daniel and his companions. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel 1:17. Oh, dear Sister Pierna, I'm sorry to hear about you being burned down to second degree. And praise the Lord, there's no blistering. But indeed, let us bow our heads and pray for a quick and full recovery. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness. We thank you for being with each one of us, and I pray, Father, that you'll be with our dear sister Pierna. Please help the burn that she received on her arm to be healed up quickly. Take away the pain, and let there be no scarring or any residual problems from it. And thank you for protecting her from getting worse burnt than what she was. And thank you, Savior, for bringing about a speedily healing to her. And thank you for alleviating her pain. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I have a question, and I'm hoping maybe some kind of collaboration will transpire or something. It's about the healthy eating and things like that. And it was, you know, mentioned before, and I fit into that bracket of not exactly being very wealthy. And those who are a little bit more well off can eat as well as they want to of all the great healthy things that are out there. Some of you dear brothers and sisters may have like a compilation of some very inexpensive healthy ways of eating, because unfortunately when you're on an exceedingly fixed budget, you're kind of forced to buy a lot of the garbage you don't really want to eat, but it's cheaper to get. So if maybe you know, there's like some kind of web pages you all might know about or information you can just kind of send our way, or maybe compile it in a little PDF thingy and pass it out. I know those of us that have that kind of fixed budget thing and we're not in the wealthy bracket, we would surely love to have that information on inexpensive and healthy meals that we can bypass, even as Brother Rich is saying, pre-processed foods and stuff. So anything down that road would be very appreciated. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Dear Brother Dick and Sister Elaine, for the information that you just posted there concerning the raw honey for burn and comfrey. I'm not too sure what that is, but wheat germ oil, okay, and honey mixed into things. Okay, but thank you so much for that.
Are there any other questions or comments or songs, dear ones, before we close? Please feel free. Well, I want to thank you all for coming on this beautiful Sabbath, and I especially want to praise the Godhead for being here with us and for blessing us in such a marvelous way, especially in opening our understanding to help us comprehend more about how to keep our bodies in the best possible condition of health, and especially how to keep our spiritual life in the best possible health. So, dear ones, keep looking up, keep moving forward, keep advancing in the way of everlasting life, and may God bless you immensely and abundantly in this new coming week and bring you back together with each one of us here for another wonderful and special time in worshiping our God and praising His name. So may God bless you, dear ones, and our love and prayers will be with each one of you until we meet again.